Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is August 9.
Yep.
I know this time of year is easy for me because my mom's birthday was August 5, and Julian's birthday is August 10.
Mm.
His birthday is actually tomorrow, but he's going away with his old lady. They're going to Seattle.
To Seattle?
Yeah, they just wanted to go up there just to see what it was like. So they're going to Seattle and Portland. So
that's pretty cool. And you know what? Shout to them. Let me say this. Shout to them for going to explore some shit that's off the beaten path, but still in the States. Like, yeah. That's dope to me. You know what I'm saying?
Instead of going to Miami or
Regular shit that's super expensive, super crazy. I mean, you know, you got to have a little piece of change to go to Seattle. But my point is, I think that's dope to sort of explore the States. Like, folks be getting so hung up on passports and my stamps.
Yeah.
You know, you niggas ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, you ain't ever been nowhere. I never been to Seattle. He got me beat on that one.
Yeah,
what I'm saying. He's going to chill, and it's, you know what I'm saying. That's a real city. That's an American city.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in the States other than going to LA or going to Miami or going to New Orleans where you can go and really just like see some shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to one of the Great Lakes cities. You can go, you know what I mean? There's other things to do. So yeah, that's true. That's valid.
The whole Southern coast, you know, you can do that stuff, Biloxi and all that stuff too. But so they're going to Portland. Wait, how are they doing it? I think they're going to, they're flying into Seattle. They'll do a couple of days in Seattle, then they're going to drive down to Portland because Portland's only, I think, no more than 2 hours from Seattle.
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah, it's not far at all.
It's not far.
Yeah, so they're going to do that, and they're going to do a little bit of time in Portland, and then they'll fly home from there. So that's his birthday trip. So I told him I'll see him when he get back. We'll go out and get some wings or something. That's about all I could do for his ass at this point. Shit. You grown up. You know, how's everybody doing?
I'm good.
I'm hungry.
Oh, you just had your workout, right?
Yeah, I kind of cut it short because I was a little off with the time, but yeah, I just left the gym, so I haven't been home yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get mine in when I get out of here. I ain't really got no shout outs or nothing like that. I feel like I did, but I went to Atlanta last week for work.
I mean, that ain't new.
Yeah, it ain't new. I'm just, you know, mentioning. I went to Atlanta for work. I didn't really hang out with Mom. I saw Missy when I was down there. Just a weird shout out actually to Atlanta, because apparently in Atlanta there's certain bars and stuff that you can still smoke cigarettes.
But why would you want that?
That's what I say. So I walked in the joint. It was like a little spot my man was DJing. I went to check him out. And he said, like, after 10:30 at night, you're allowed to smoke. So, because I looked over, I was smelling the cigarette smoke, and I looked over, and I was like, what the hell? And I asked the guy, he was like, yeah, after 10:30, we're allowed to smoke in here. And that, yo, I swear to God, I felt like every third person in there had a cigarette. It was disgusting. I hate it.
You don't really realize. Like I don't know how we used to be in restaurants when it was like smoking or non-smoking, or because you go anywhere now where they're smoking inside a building and it's just immediately an assault on your whole joint. Like, we went to a radio station in London, I think, when we were doing promo, and they, like, the whole radio station smelled like smoke. And I was like, how do you have artists up in here? You guys are smoking and carrying on.
Mm-hmm. All your clothes and your hair.
Yeah.
So I got home that night, I took the longest shower because I just felt disgusting with that smoke all on me. And I, bro, like this, I had on my Rick Owens shorts. So I had to Febreze them joints.
Yeah, man.
I paid some good money for them shorts now. Yeah.
Yeah, cigarette. And you know what's crazy, man? Because, you know, you guys know I smoke cigars, and I'll go to different cigar bars. And what's crazy is that most of the guys who smoke in the winter, we all know we leave our overcoats, never come inside.
Because it gets all in your coat.
Yes, once it gets in your it's like if you have a cashmere blend overcoat, like a real overcoat, yeah, it can really seep into that. So like, if you have really high end hats or overcoats, it's not a good idea to have that in there.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So but there's nothing spectacular happened in Atlanta that I can remember. But my memory getting worse and worse. So if something did happen, I probably just forgot about it. But you know, God bless it. You know,
I got a shout today, man. I want to shout this lady. I'm gonna just call her Miss Beulah. Miss Beulah May, saw her down at the supermarket today, bless her heart. She had to be about a smooth 85.
Okay.
Still she had a cart. Driving.
She had a cart.
One of her knee highs was rolling down.
Well, you know.
And she had a good walking shoes on. And I helped her over to the car.
Of course you did.
She said she was going to pray for me. So really, shout out to Miss Beulah, man. Who, I know that's not her name, but I felt like that was her name.
You know?
And, you know, bless her spirit, man. She was in good, you know, good spirits and was very appreciative. And she said, oh, baby, you're going to put everything inside. Okay, we all right.
You know, and she's gonna pray over you, which is the most important part.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always need those kind of
exactly prayers. From the elders, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to mention two quick sports shows that came on last night that were really interesting. One was the new season of Hard Knocks, which is the HBO show about preseason football camp. Pro football camp came on last night. They take one team and kind of follow that team for the up until the first season, the first game of the season. So this year they're doing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And last night was a really good episode. The star of the team is Jameis Winston, who's the quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. And there's a defensive star too, a guy named Gerald McCoy, who's a defensive lineman, and DeSean Jackson. But it was really interesting to watch Jameis. They had him back in, he's from Bessemer, Alabama. So they had him back in Bessemer riding around, seeing his family. And he just, like last night, he just really went over well. Like he's got a lot of charisma. Obviously he's a star quarterback. Seems to be still pretty humble. And he just really, like, you know, gave a good impression of himself last night, you know?
Yeah, Jameis comes off as really like the he's basically the young version of your old uncle.
Yes.
He's literally that, and it was super endearing. It was super, you know, seeing his family, watching this guy go into the room that he sort of grew up in and things of that nature. And then it will sort of remind you that this kid is only like 4 years, 5 years removed from that house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's not far removed from that location.
Yeah.
And so you can still see the connection. You can tell that he keeps in touch with that family. That was not for cameras.
Yeah.
He's at that house. If he gets all a chance time. To come home, yeah, he's coming home. He might be on the grill. He might be on the back porch.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not even really 4 years, because I'm sure when he was having breaks while he was still in college, he was coming home to that house, and he just graduated college the year before last. So it's really only like 2 years removed, you know, so.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other show that came on last night was a show called, on ESPN 30 for 30 called Baltimore Boys, about the, Dunbar High School, which was the people acknowledged as the best high school basketball team of all time. They went 59-0 during the 4 years that those guys were in.
No, it was 2 years.
2 years. It was 2 years. They went 59-0. They obviously never lost a game, won state championships. And I remember
because
I
was went to D1 schools.
Yeah, I remember because I was in Morgan at the time. So like they would play at Morgan sometimes.
You was at Morgan back. How old are you, Jeffrey?
59.
Yo, I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna see a picture of this nigga with a deuce and a quarter at some point. I'm telling you.
I'm gonna get you a picture, an old picture of me and
no, because I'm saying, you look at the interview last night. These niggas look old as hell, and they were in high school. Jeff talk about they look old now. They were in high school then. Jeff talking about he was at Morgan then. Mm-hmm. I'm confused. Well,
I use that good lotion. That's what it is.
So yeah, it was really great. It was probably one of the most memorable 30 for 30s that I can think of. It's definitely top five. It was just an incredible piece of work. I love the fact that they sort of touched on the neighborhood but didn't make that sort of the harping point of this. I love the fact that they touched on their lives and how they sort of grew up together. And it was really interesting to see basketball pre-AAU. And what I mean by that is nowadays, you know, for the majority of kids that are really, really good and talented, they don't really play for their schools.
Yeah, they travel all the time.
They play travel ball. And that's how you're ranked. And so at this point, you know, playing for your high school, if you were in a big city, if you were in Baltimore, if you were in Chicago, if you were in New York City, you know, playing for your school meant some shit. Like having that jacket, having that gym bag, you know, going around the city, playing for pride, neighborhood pride, it really meant something. So it was special to see them touch on all of those things and how these guys really grew up together. Like they were playing together since they were like 8 and 9 years old.
Which
was really, really good. And
then two of them ended up playing together in college, Wingate and Reggie Williams.
And Muggsy and Wingate played on the Hornets together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they ended up hooking back up in college.
I wish they had touched on some of the other guys that did not.
Yeah, actually going to say the same thing. I wish they would have talked to more than just the four guys who went pro. Well, three guys, because Reggie Lewis passed away. But, like, I wanted to talk to some of the other guys on the team. I mean, they was all there together, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, two more of them died.
Well, who? Reggie Lewis died, and who else died?
Reggie Lewis died, and one of the other guys died of a cocaine overdose.
Oh, yeah, the one who was a pre-Reggie, right?
Yeah, he was before that. He was like the guy, like before their class. He wasn't on that team, but he played for Dunbar, so he was a couple years ahead of them.
Okay.
And he had, you know, just had some issues. He'd gone off to college, bounced around college to college, ended up coming back to Baltimore. And as you can imagine, at that time, you know, Baltimore is just rife with drugs. I mean, you know, you're talking about the late 70s, early 80s, and exactly what you could imagine it to be was, I'm sure, what it was.
Yeah, it was a mess. That city was a disaster. But it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm glad to see Bob Wade still alive and all that. Now, you want to talk a little bit about Shanice? Unsung?
Unsung has actually had a couple of last few episodes have been kind of interesting, and we haven't talked about Unsung in a long time because they had gotten to the point where they weren't really doing Unsung. They were just doing "This Nigga Ain't Had a Hit in a Minute." like they did Wyclef. Wyclef is the opposite of Unsung. Yeah. Like he's the absolute.
They did a James Brown episode. I'm like,
yeah, like what the hell? What are you talking about right now? And I get it. Like they're 11 seasons in. It's hard, right? Like, it's got to be hard to still get really great material. But they did Shanice this week. And I actually forgot, because I think Shanice, and I really just think of I Love Your Smile, but she had a couple hits. But the struggle with Shanice was that she was never going to steer away from the good girl image, even once she was a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had Destiny's Child coming out, and, you know, Toni Braxton was being all sexy and they want her to, you know, wear something a little different, wear something a little tighter, do a little more. And with that big Shanice Colgate smile, it was hard for them to market her a certain way. So that's really kind of what it was about. You know, that struggle. And then her and Flex filed for bankruptcy, which I don't think I knew.
Yeah, I knew that because that was the whole, that was
like
the whole
lost everything
for them. That was the whole reason for them getting that open. That was the
show.
The premise behind the Oprah show was them filing for bankruptcy and having all everybody having to move in together because their money was jammed up.
So I had never watched the show.
Okay.
I didn't realize that. I'd never watched the show. But yeah, because what they were, she was trying to release music independently around the same time that was happening. Flex got kicked off of One-on-One or whatever that show was. So they didn't have any money coming in.
One-on-One.
So they didn't have any money coming in, but they were hemorrhaging all that money going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I still don't feel like they're great. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, Flex still ain't working as far as I know.
Yeah.
But,
he does like stand-up comedy, but obviously there's not much money in that, you know?
But I mean, obviously the show has generated enough income. Like, it sounds like she was saying they said she was getting calls for booking. So she's probably doing a little lounge over here, a little Beacon Theater play over there, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good. Like you said, it was good. God bless him. Rest in peace to Fife. One night, I still remember me and Fife went to some release party. Really? Some party was Motown. It wasn't Shanice's party, but I remember she was there. And me and Fife was there, and then she, like, saw Fife, and she was, like, smiling at him and giving him all this rhythm. And I was like, yo, go talk to him. I was trying to get her, but he went, because she was with her mom. Her mom never left your side.
Right.
So, like, he was like, nah, man, she with her mom, man. I'm fuck that, Fife, go bag Shanice. He meant bag it up. I kind of got on him about that.
Jeffrey out here with the bad advice.
No, it wasn't bad advice.
But apparently that was her thing. Like, she really wasn't. Like, he wasn't going to hit. Like, that wasn't going to happen, basically.
I would be surprised if Flex was the first or second cat to ever hit it. Like, she definitely was not out here just winging it, you know?
They were keeping her on. Her mom and her aunt were keeping her on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not even mad at that.
At all.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so many folks to point to and so many stories to point to about, and it's not just about, you know, promiscuity. I'm not, you know, trying to say that like that's some sort of end all be all, but there's just a certain culture in this business that I think that they really worked hard at keeping her level headed and away from.
Yeah,
and I'm sort of glad that she didn't fall into that space.
Yeah, right. Me too. Yeah, exactly. You know,
I will say this, they played this tape, this recording of her when she was singing at 8.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And her vocal control at 8.
Was crazy.
I was like, what 8-year-old sounds like this? It was insane.
Like, that song actually was pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the little Valley Girl song. They made up a little song.
For 8-year-old, it was like, oh, I was like, oh, it's...
You know, it had a little harmony, yeah.
Yeah, it might have worked. Hey, wait, now, before I move on, that girl that was her friend or cousin, isn't that the girl, wasn't that girl on the TV show?
On which TV show?
I thought she was one of them girls on the... I don't know. She don't get me the line. One of them gals on one of them damn shows. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I watched
her show, and her show was actually very good the first season. Excuse me. It was also good the second season.
Her show with Flex?
Yeah, yes. the one on OWN.
Yeah, and then the third season... It got very campy.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, it brought in some different producers and some new producers, and it became a little less reality docu-follow and more T.I. family hustle.
I was about to say, like, the family hustle. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to create these scenarios. Like, the house guest comes over, and oh my God, she pours too much soap in the... washing machine, and then there's suds all over. You know what I'm saying? It kind of became a sitcom, and it was just weird. But look, I really like them. I wish them well. I'm glad that the Unsung, is generating something for them. And I mean, I think it's cool. I think they're cool.
Yeah,
and they're doing Unsung is actually doing Ice-T next week, which some people may think is like, why Ice-T? But I think that's a great choice because his entire rap career has damn near been forgotten by so many people.
Yeah, everybody just knows him from Law and Order now.
Yeah, and
movies.
And movies. And it's interesting, it's y'all know, and some of the listeners may know, I've been doing like these Twitter thread things lately. And last week, one of the things I was doing was one on Latifah, because it's the same thing with Lyle. Like, people... they know she was a rapper, but they don't really remember like how good she was or how dope she was or how important she was. And the same thing with Ice-T. Like, this nigga was the first, I think he was the first rapper that, like, the FBI was looking at. Even before, you know, the Uncle Luke banned in the USA stuff, like, you know, there were files with his name on it, on people's desks. And he was, his topics were completely unsavory. You know, he had his wife on album covers.
Yeah.
You know.
Darlene,
she was bad, too. Just, like, all kinds, you know, wife on album covers looking like, you know, an Uncle Luke dancer. I mean, just, he was really out here talking the pimp game, the drug game, and you believed it.
Yeah. Like,
and apparently he really lived it, you know, so.
Yeah, that's the thing about him, man. Like, you know, his run was short, but it was thorough as according, you know, nobody has come out, you know, with YouTube now. Every old nigga get a microphone and they start to, that nigga wasn't doing nothing, you know. And you ain't never hear that. So I'm thinking that, you know, listen, man, I mean, it's legit. He absolutely is who he says he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always heard, you know, he wasn't no punk.
No slouch, yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, like Andre said about Hammer. You run up on him if you want to. run up on him if you want to. And, yeah, it might be some problems.
Yeah. I believe that about T. I always believed about T. And the reason that he was such a good actor at first is before he got on Law and Order, he would always either play a cop or play the street dude. And there's a reason for that, right? Because even the type of cop he plays the cop who was a street dude.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's his thing, though. And that's, you know, even in New Jack City, the way he was able to go undercover as a drug kingpin, like, all of that to me is just Ice-T. I don't even really think he's acting that hard, to be honest. He's just saying lines. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be interesting.
Okay.
He's been getting them checks for 20 years.
Yeah, man. Plus he's getting residual checks. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Law and Order is on syndication all day, every day.
In every country.
Channels. In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig. You know? Hey, I want to mention Kid Creole, formerly of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. He's a founding member. And... he just got arrested, I guess, a week and a half ago for murdering a homeless dude on the street here in Manhattan. It was kind of crazy. Apparently, he was walking down the street in Midtown Manhattan going to his gig. He had a security and maintenance gig. He passed his cat. Cat allegedly said something that basically made a pass at Kid Creole. Kid Creole didn't take kindly to him making a pass at him. They started arguing and fussing and fighting on the street. Kid Creole apparently had a steak knife tied to his arm with some rubber bands. That's some old school shit there. Pulled the steak knife out, stabbed the dude in the chest a couple times, and the guy died on the street. So now he's in jail for murder. And, you know, he's 57 years old, so to be up in Rikers and possibly going to jail for the rest of your life at damn near 60 has got to be a really unpleasant situation. All they're going to do is try to say that this guy who he killed, who was a registered sex offender, he had served time for sexually assaulting and attacking a woman. He had 16 prior arrests. I guess they're going to try to probably spin it maybe to a self-defense thing for Kid Creole, whose real name is Nathan Daniel Glover. And maybe he'll get less time. I don't know, but...
I'm thinking that's the angle. I mean, unfortunately, I don't know. I mean, I remember when this, you know, crime occurred, and what I thought was weird at the time was that when they said, you know, man was stabbed to death in Bryant Park or whatever, like, I initially thought, well, that's usually when homeless people die or when they get into fights, it's usually with other homeless people. Mm-hmm. They don't normally get into scuffles or confrontations with people that aren't in their world.
Yeah.
So that's why I initially thought, I even said, yo, was he homeless?
Yeah, because usually if a homeless dude approach on the street, unless he gets physical, he start yelling and fussing and cussing, you kind of
just keep walking.
Just keep it moving. Yeah, like, you know, I think it's crazy. I'm getting about it. You know, because you know what it's not worth it, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, look, I don't know what this guy did. I mean, an argument really shouldn't be a death sentence. But, you know, I also don't know what was said in that argument. I don't know what it was. I do know that Kid Creole is a really small guy. You know, so I don't know if maybe he was intimidated by dude's size from the mugshot that I did see of the other guy. He looked pretty big. I don't know if that played a role, but, you know, it's got to be some cameras. This happened at Bryant Park. I can't imagine that this isn't caught on film.
Yeah. So, I mean, God bless the guy who died, and then, you know, God bless Kid Creole. Hopefully he gets off without having to do the rest of his life in the penitentiary. What's the next thing I should bring up? You know what? Let's bring up Black Girls Rock. Cause so now you went to the show on, what was it, Saturday night?
Yeah, it was on Saturday night. Wait, start without me for 1 second. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so we're going to skip Black Girls Rock then, because I ain't go, so I know nothing about it. You know what, dude? Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick then. So the Miami Dolphins quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, went down in practice with a knee injury last week, or maybe not even a week ago, 2 days ago, whatever. And there's been a huge controversy. I think we've discussed it on the show earlier a few episodes ago about Colin Kaepernick, but being blackballed by the NFL for his stance on police brutality last year. So all these, you know, mediocre and raggedy ass quarterbacks keep getting selected and picked and, you know, getting jobs even as backups or, you know, second, third string, some as starters. Well, Colin Kaepernick's not even getting tryouts. He's not even getting a chance to try out for any team. And he's still in shape. He's taking care of himself. He's not, you know, out here acting crazy. He also said that he, this year, if he does get to play, he did not plan on taking a knee this season. He felt like he did it, and it's, you know, what he had to do is done. And now he wants to get back into playing football. He'll do, you know, still be doing things off the field. But as far as the football thing goes, during the national anthem, he hadn't planned on doing that, but he just still can't get any calls. So, like I said, starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill went down, and it was a big thing. It was like, are they going to call Colin Kaepernick in here to at least try out and see if he could help the team out? And instead, they went up and got Jay Cutler, who's a 34-year-old. Quarterback who had a bunch of terrible seasons the last few years, who was actually retired and was in line to do games as a broadcaster on Fox Sports. So like they went above and beyond their way to not even call Colin Kaepernick to get a 34. Colin Kaepernick's only 29. They called it to get a guy that's almost, you know, 7-8 years older than he is, who has been terrible. Is not in shape. Didn't really want to play.
Looks awful.
Said he said his wife talked him into taking the gig. He didn't even want to play over Colin Kaepernick. So I mean, what you think about that, man?
I mean, listen, the Miami Dolphins are like all other NFL teams. They look at folks, you know. They operate in a very sort of militarized way, meaning stay in line. They do not like disruptions. They do not like anyone feeling like they can cause a disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So they went out of their way. They clearly didn't want to deal with or entertain Kaepernick. The Ravens have done this as well. They didn't want to entertain Kaepernick. Yep. It is clearly a case of collusion. So when you see people make the excuses of owners saying, well, you know, we don't know if Colin wants to play. Well, you know what? We actually have quotes of Jay Cutler saying, I don't want to play.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore. Right. And you've gone out of your way. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that his wife didn't have to pull his arm too much, because $10 million
for one season
to work is really a fucking sweet deal. It's really a sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't really, I just don't get why we're still pretending. Now, the bigger issue here, and more importantly, is where are your players' union? Like, this is
that's what I want to know.
This is a problem for me. So I've seen people talk about, you know, boycotting. And look, I'm not here to express my moral outrage to what you want to do to feel better about yourself, right? But I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch the NFL, mm-hmm. okay? And Colin Kaepernick isn't even boycotting the NFL. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's still looking to get a job, right? So this isn't a matter of, oh, I'm you know, drawing this line in the sand. I get the premise, but, you know, I'm not going to go with that. I don't look for sports to be my moral compass. I don't, you know, if you start to do that shit, it gets really, really tricky.
Yeah.
Colin, for me, I mean, there are consequences. I mean, I thought he was aware of that. And these are sort of the consequences. You are not. You know, this is a private sector job. That's what it is. If we're, you know, really being, you know, completely transparent about it, I mean, it's a private sector job. They can hire who they want to hire.
Yeah.
It's usually based on meritocracy. You know what I mean? The best guy wins, or, you know, that's sort of, you know, the idea is that the best man wins. And so oftentimes that's what happens. But this is one of those times where I don't think that that's going to be the case. And I mean, this may be the consequence for Colin. I applaud everything he's done. I'm appreciative of everything he's done. But I definitely don't necessarily know that he fully understood the level of
blowback,
the memories or the pettiness of old rich white men.
Really?
Yeah, I doubt he ever thought it would go this far, ever. I mean, not that it necessarily would have stopped him, but I really don't think he ever imagined that he would be, like, frozen out.
Yeah, I don't think he did at all based on the fact that he seems to still be trying. Now, look, I don't know if this is him trying to, you know, go all out to prove a point, but look, I would like to see him playing football. I think that he will be playing football at some point. I really, really have a problem with an NFL Players Association who seemingly has done more for people who have killed people during drunk driving accidents or beaten their wives than they have for Colin Kaepernick. It is time for them to do something. The players themselves haven't done anything. I haven't seen any white players.
Nothing.
Speak out on his behalf. I haven't seen any black players, you know, also say, yo, you know what? We're not going out on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's out here by himself. And I don't know if he realized that he would be as isolated. I don't think, to be perfectly honest and perfectly frank, from the remarks of his, I don't know if that's his fiance or his girlfriend.
His but girlfriend, her Nessa.
Remarks, she.
Oh, shit.
We lost Sean.
Lost Sean for a second, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What his girlfriend say? I don't even know what his girlfriend
She posted a thing about when Ray Lewis went on Fox Sports, and he was like saying Colin needs to be more, you know, quiet and keep stuff off the field and don't say anything.
Yeah, which, like, be more quiet. Like, the nigga took a silent protest.
Yeah, so there was a picture of Ray Lewis hugging the from the back, like hugging the owner of the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl.
I remember that.
He took that picture and put the picture of Sam Jackson hugging Leonardo DiCaprio from Django and just,
you know, posted him.
Yeah, basically said, like, you're a coon, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, it's, you know, she's this girl, so she's going, you know, she's going for it. She's like, you know, all bets is off type shit, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
We were talking about what Cap's girlfriend posted. Sean, did we lose him again?
No, he's right there.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just talking about what Nessa posted on the with the picture of Steve Buscemi and then what's it called him?
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, and Ray Lewis and
yeah, that. I mean listen, we know what Ray is. You know, I don't think we need to, you know, we know what Ray is. I'm not gonna go down that path. I mean, he's he's not going to change. He's not really that bright. He's not really a smart guy. God bless him. I wish him well in life. But when your wife is, when you're, the idea, and even if she's not his wife, that is how these old men operate. That this is the house that you're in. This is the thinking that is going on in your space.
Yeah.
And if that's what it is, sure. I mean, I'm not really going to be, I'm not eager to call you and give you my money.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah. I mean, it's this trip, you know, like this guy went to one Super Bowl and was a player so away from going to another Super Bowl. Like, you know, he had a good season last season on a terrible team. And now he's just frozen out of the league. And like you said, I mean, Spike Lee is supposed to be doing some type of rally for him or whatever.
Yeah, there's something for him. I actually think it might have been tonight.
It might have been. Yeah, I don't really know what what it means.
I think it was tonight. I mean, it was like I don't want to call it. I mean, I guess you call it a protest, like an organized protest. I don't know what you're going to get out there and say and do.
What it means to, as far as helping him get a shot, but you know, at least he's doing something. But yeah, it's just it's a fucked up situation, man, because this guy's being straight up blackballed, and the NFL, like you said, like Sean said, the Players Association, and it's so weak that they're not even, you know, they're not even attempting to try to help him out or back him up, man. It's just like he's really
it's really sad to see, man, because as a union, that's literally your job. Your job is to ensure that workers, that the labor force is being represented and not being taken advantage of by owners. And this is literally what's happening. Like, this man is, he was ranked in the top 30. A matter of fact, he's ranked in the top 25 of QBs. You can't tell me that there's 60 people in the world who are better at playing quarterback than Colin Kaepernick.
Cause so they're putting guys in that was retired. You know what I'm saying? Like they said Miami even, you know, kind of thought about trying to ask Tim Tebow to come play. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, I just wanted to mention that cause it's real foul, man. But now you want to talk a little bit about,
Black Girls Rock. Yeah. So Black Girls Rock taped, on Saturday. I mean, it's always one of my favorite rooms to be in. The energy and the spirit of the show genuinely is electric, and it's just really warm, and there's a lot of love, and it's inspiring. Like, all that stuff that sounds cliche, that really is how it feels in there. Like, there's no shade, there's no drama, there's no whatever. And I don't want to give too much away because the show still has a couple of weeks to air. But
when does it air exactly, you know?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I know it's not this weekend. They take a couple of weeks to edit it.
Okay.
It might be in the next week or so, but it's not
The 22nd. The 22nd.
Okay. Okay.
So next weekend. No, that's like during the week, whatever. But what was I going to say? Oh, that's weird too. They usually air it on a Sunday, I feel like. But anyway, so this is a different time of year than they usually tape. When the show first started, they taped in October, and then they moved it to May for a couple of years, and now this year it's in August. I mean, my concern is it's not such a thing like the BET Awards or the MTV Awards that I think anybody was really looking for it on specific times of year just yet, the way we know the BET Awards is on a certain Sunday and we know MTV Awards is on a certain Sunday. But this jumping around does concern me a little bit about the sustainability of Black Girls Rock as an award show. Because I do feel like this year with artists, they were having some issues with booking, just based on what the lineup was. Because August, people are on vacation or they're on the road on tour. Like, they're very rarely just sitting around chilling. So the honorees were great, though. So they honored Maxine Waters. They honored Yara Shahidi. They honored Issa. They honored Solange.
Oh, okay.
They honored a woman whose name, I wrote it down. Wait, hold on. What's her name? She basically she's like one of the highest paid women, period. Not just Black women, but women, period, on Wall Street.
Wow.
And her firm finances, Suzanne Schenck. Okay. From finances, infrastructure projects, highways, bridges, all that type of stuff. And they honored her. She has a $2 trillion company. That's trillion.
Wow.
$2 trillion company. So they honored her. They honored the two women who run the Black and Missing platform, which is specifically focused on finding Black missing people. And when they were giving the numbers of how many Black girls, boys, men and women go missing each year, you know, we talk about this, like, they don't get Amber Alerts. They don't get heavy news coverage. They don't get all these things. People tend to say, oh, they probably ran away. Or, oh, there's probably something else happening. So they have a platform that's specifically focused on missing Black people. So they honored them. And I feel like there was, oh, and they honored Roberta Flack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So great show, as always. Great and inspiring show in terms of the honorees and just everything everybody has to say. Oh, and this year, Taraji P. Henson hosted.
How was she?
She was cool. I mean, she was Taraji, but I really, 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 really liked Tracee Ellis and Regina.
Oh, yeah, they were good.
King hosting together. I mean, they've hosted almost all the shows. And I really liked them together, but I guess they felt like it was time to, like, shake it up a little bit, go in a new direction,
okay,
freshen things up some. But it was great. I mean, I took Greg's daughter. It was her first time coming. And even she was like, this is really awesome. It's really inspirational. We hung out. They have a little after party there inside NJPAC.
Oh, in the venue?
That some people go to. Yeah, there's, like, a little lounge inside NJPAC. So they have it in there, which is really great because the one thing about that taping, because it's not a live taping, they do a lot of shit over.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of this person read somebody's name wrong on the teleprompter, or just didn't read the teleprompter, or it just was going off dome instead of looking at the script that was right in front of them. So you're there for a long time. Like, I think taping started at 7:30. It probably took 3 hours.
How was Maxine Waters?
She was great. I mean, her speech, part of her speech, you could tell, like, she was reading from the prompter, and then towards the end, she went off and was just flowing freestyle, mm-hmm, and that's when, like, she really got passionate. But, you know, every time I even mentioned her name, she got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
like,
I bet.
Everybody, but she loves it. Like, she had her little off-the-shoulder red dress
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, okay, Auntie Max, I'll see
you. She on some slingbacks. I was like, listen.
Try to find you a Mr. Curtis.
I think.
Is she married?
Her husband's still alive. I think she's married. Still alive.
Oh, yeah, he's still alive? There. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
She's married.
Good for her. Yeah, I always enjoy that show. Like you said, because the spirit of the show is dope, and everybody seems to be really having a great time and really into it. You know, and obviously it's an important show because it's Black women and, you know, showing young girls that you can, you know, do all these different things. I really like that show a lot. I look forward to it. And I've never been. I want to go. I'm going to go to one of these tapings one of these years.
Yeah, you said you don't go because you feel like you'd be intruding. You absolutely would not go. And there's a ton of people that you know who are there all the time. Like, you should go. It's a fun show to go to.
This one of them days, this one of them joints me and you go to, we got to sit in the back.
Yeah, sit in the back.
You bring you with our programs.
Yeah.
Make sure we get our programs and we sit to the back and keep quiet.
Sip on a little something and, you know.
I have a flask in my jacket.
And be nudging each other like, hey, that one got a little thick ankles in it walking down there. Oh, shit.
But I'm going to tell you, these are different, but the energy at the tapings to me is kind of the same kind of familial energy. The other show to me that is as much fun as Black Girls Rock, Soul Train. Soul Train is so much, like, I don't think ET Awards that much fun go to as a taping, but to me, Black Girls Rock and Soul Train, like, those two are, I have a good time at both of those. And it's the same feeling. It's like a reunion. You just,
yeah, it's like a party. You could like the cookout. Well, speaking of that, let's do, we're not going to talk this week. We're not going to talk as long as we did last time, but let's talk, just do a little quick synopsis on Insecure. So, this is
episode. Well, we can start, Let's start with Lauren Tatasha just to get it out the way.
Okay. So, Lauren, the storyline is, you know, I'm sure most of the people listen to this or watching this show, but watch Insecure. But the storyline is, you know, Lawrence is kind of rebounding from Issa with Tasha. And then this week was a very interesting, has some very interesting turns because it's, there were little signs and subtleties that, between Lawrence and Tasha early on in the episode that showed that they weren't really on the same page, although Tasha wasn't really aware that they were on the same page because Lawrence wasn't being, you know, really kind of forthcoming about it.
Lawrence went, and after Lawrence apologized to her for the Issa shit, something transpired between him agreeing to come to the family cookout and him apologizing to her for the Issa thing, but apologizing to her in a way that made it seem like she was important to him in a certain way.
Tasha, she's
obviously now assumed they're in a relationship. So she's chilling.
Because, like, if a nigga leaves for whatever reason, or you kick him to the curb, really, that's what Tasha did, and then he comes back, then the girl has to assume, or guy, whatever the situation is, or the person has to assume that if you came back with, you know, hat in hand, apologizing, that means that obviously that you're really sorry and you want another shot.
Otherwise, you don't come back.
You just take the L and keep it moving.
He was standing outside in the parking lot, which means he rolled to her house and hit her with the come outside text.
Yeah, exactly. And then when she asked him,
that's the I really want to apologize text.
Exactly.
Like, I'm hungry, come inside. So now we see Tasha, and she got her scarf on. She got her
sweatpants on.
She's trying to watch Scandal.
She's watching her Shondaland.
Yeah.
You know,
he's trying to play around, and she's like, boy, you're so crazy. Stop.
Yeah, stop. Like, look at this shit. Like, basically, like you said, that's what happens in your relationship. You mean, you know, banging every minute of the day. You're, like, sitting there, you watching shows, you're talking about work or whatever's going on in your life. She's telling, you know, Lawrence about the cookout, and, you know, they're like, you know, it's like, it's regular shit now. She said she got a scarf on. She's not all duded up like she was in the other scenes that show them together. And it seems like he looks up and realizes, holy shit, I'm in a relationship that I don't want to be in, you know?
But even then, the family cookout comes. He's like, all right, he's still going. He's going to the family cookout. He introduces himself to people. He getting grandma out the van.
Brings chairs.
He helping the cousin set up the AV. But it's even obvious then that he's out of place, right?
Yeah.
Like, when the cousin is like, yo, help me hook this AV up, Lawrence is like, you got a permit?
Yeah.
He's like, nigga, what? And he literally said, nigga, hand me the cord. Like, yeah, you know, you're one of them rules following niggas. Yeah. Like, nigga, hand me the cord.
And also, I said that we'll see, because one interesting thing about this show is that they've been very tight-lipped, and maybe they will be for the duration of the show, but they've been kind of very tight-lipped about the characters' backgrounds.
I feel like it's on purpose. Like, maybe they don't want us to get, because maybe it's just about who they are right now and who they're trying to be right now, and they don't want to color it too much with a backstory. Yeah. Like,
they give us little drips and drabs. Like, we found out the first episode that Issa has a brother. This week we found out that you know, we had Molly on the phone talking to her mom. And when she saw the guys and her friends from school in the donut shop, the guy was like, yo, tell your brothers I said what up. So, like, we found out that she has brothers. It's subtle drips. But we have no background on Lawrence at all.
We don't know how him and Issa met. I don't know if he's from California originally.
Like, I don't know if he went to college. But I'm just taking it as Lawrence is a guy that, I don't know, I took it as he's not comfortable being around that, like, level of black folks. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, all of Issa's people are bougie. Like, all of them are super bougie. And that's what I took that, you know, upwardly progressive ass Negroes, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm part of that camp as well.
Yeah, but Tasha, you know, Tasha still, her family's still playing dominoes. She still got play uncles, and you know.
Like a fist fight might have broke out of that cookout. Like, and that. So I will say I was disappointed because I was really ready to watch this cookout. Like I was ready to see what they were gonna give me. I felt a little bit like it was a cheat. Like I was really looking forward to that. But so Lawrence dips out on the cookout because we said I'm gonna try to speed this up because we said weren't gonna spend that long. Lawrence dips out of the cookout to go to this tech thing, this like tech social thing that his coworkers told him about. And once he gets there, he tells Tasha, "I'll be back. Let me jet out to this thing real quick. I'm coming back." But once he gets there, Tasha's texting him. He's ignoring it. We see, like, the sun going down, you know what I mean? Like, all this other stuff. And finally, she gets him, and they're, like, cleaning up at the cookout. And she's like, "Yo, what the fuck?" And his response to her basically being like, "Where the fuck you been?" is to say, "I don't really want a relationship right now."
Yeah, which was whack, yo.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, first of all, you not want a relationship right now ain't got shit to do with you leaving the cookout telling me you're going to be right back. Mm-hmm. And then not only not being right back, but ignoring all my calls. Like, this is kind of like how Issa handled shit with Daniel. At any point, you could have been like, "I'm not going to make it. I'm stuck. It's a work thing. It's whatever." Instead of just like ignoring it. And then your response is like, "I don't really want to be in a relationship," as though that justifies it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was her thing. She was like, "Yo, do you know how embarrassed I am right now? Like, my whole..."
Because the thing is, it's one thing, like you said, if the nigga didn't show up. I mean, that's embarrassing too. But it's way worse if the nigga showed up for like 5 minutes and bounced. That's way worse because it's like, "Yo, is he coming back?" I'm sure during the whole cookout, they was like, Tasha, where your boy at? Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So he didn't even get
that's even worse. Yeah, that's horrible.
So Tasha basically flips on him. And if you guys remember last week, I was saying that Issa's too smart to have created this character that was so polarizing, but not have her pull. And I don't know if you would call this a win, but not have her get the upper hand at the end in some way. And that's exactly what happened. Like, Tasha was basically like, "You know what? I knew what this was. You acted like you wanted to be something else. You a fuck nigga. And not only that, but you're a fuck nigga who thinks he's a good guy." And that's also what we said last week, was that it's not so much that Lawrence is a good guy. He's just not a bad guy. And he, you know, that's the problem. And I know so many guys like him where it's like, you think because you do certain things, like Joe Zim, friends of the show, is dying on his fucking Lawrence Hive Hill right now. Like, he's having an argument on Facebook saying that Lawrence is usually mostly right and Tasha is mostly naive. And everybody's like, "Tasha ain't naive." Like, Tasha knew all of everything. Tasha's probably less naive than anybody else on this show. She made choices based on potential. Lawrence is not mostly right. Lawrence, to me, is mostly operating in the wrong. But the thing about it is, and Joseph was even saying, he was like, "Yo, you know, his boy called him out on not taking homegirl out, and he corrected it." I'm like, okay, but he started taking her out and spending more time with her. But if he knew he didn't want to be a her man,
he shouldn't
is that
have
really
done
corrective?
That.
Like, that's
yeah,
what
he should have done
own.
It. If he
right,
didn't want
but
to
that's
it.
The thing. Like, dudes like Lawrence, they do certain shit for the optics. Like, "Yeah, I'm gonna bring chairs to your family's cookout. I'm gonna be that dude. Yeah, I'm gonna hang around the house with you and do whatever. Okay, yeah, you wanna go on a date? Let's go on a date." But knowing that your intention doesn't match your actions, but you give no thought to that, right? Like, you just do what you do in the moment. And then when you decide you don't want to do it anymore, like, you're going to sit there and just ignore her text messages and stuff and feel justified because you don't want to be in a relationship. No, that's not how this works. You should have just not done any of this shit in the first place.
From the door. What'd you think, bro?
I don't have a lot of experience with this show, but the couple times that I have chimed in, this week particularly, like, Lawrence is a fucking awful dude. And let me explain why. Even if you, there are certain things that I feel are face-to-face conversations that you need to have with people. I am not looking for a relationship after you've been balls deep in this woman's guts. I think requires
face-to-face.
Conversation. Yeah. That is not a telephone call. That is, and especially not a call that she should be giving to you. And you know what I'm saying? You just springing that on her. And two, like, when you commit to something, man, fucking commit, okay? Like, I just think you're a square-ass. I mean, I think the character is just a square-ass character because there's no, I don't know any black man that would leave an old black man's ribs cooking on a grill at the park to go hang out with some square-ass folks at a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it, just, it wasn't like, that's the thing. It didn't feel, it felt to me like he was obviously more comfortable around these folks.
Right.
And he was, it seemed as though he took, he enjoyed being sort of the black guy who was receiving the attention, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes. At the cookout, he's just a regular nigga. Like, go hand me the cord. Right. Go get Big Mama. Wheel across the
grass.
That's
a good point, like, Sean.
When he's not sort of the center of attention, it looked like he was lost. Now, I don't know if that was incredible directing.
Well, I think it was also like just him being not really knowing what to do in the family scenario. But to your point about the center of attention, from what we've seen, that's also him going from, as we talk about this transition in he and Tasha's relationship, that's also him going from Tasha doting on him. Because we've already imagined, like, she's doing all the shit he wants in bed, she's cooking for him, obviously, like doing all this stuff, to now that this balance has shifted and she's in relationship mode, is more like, can you go get this? Can you go do that? Can you go do that? And she's not really staying next to him. Like, she came over to him at one point and checked on him, like, you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm good. And that's when he was like, actually, let me go to this work thing real quick. You know, it's like, and I also feel like he didn't care enough about her to care about his family. Like, she'd been complaining about her mom and him for like 3 weeks already.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that he didn't care enough about her. Because, you know, that could actually take a lot of work. Like, the first time you come around a whole new family and there's nobody else you know there, you got to work that room, you know? Yeah. And I just think he didn't care enough about her or realized he didn't care enough about her to, like, make that effort.
And you know, and my thing is like, just as a guy, like, this is a woman that you are, even if you don't want to be in a relationship with, right, you are clearly having you're keeping time, okay?
Yeah, you in something.
Like, you in something. Maybe it ain't a relationship, but you fucking and you eating, okay? Yeah. Regular.
Right.
Like, so that's,
and laying in the bed watching TV.
Exactly. So to me, if she's saying, yo, my nigga, like, commit to this barbecue. I mean, what is the barbecue, right? Like, in the grand scheme of everything, what is the barbecue? 3 hours, 2 hours?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
about
saying?
That, like, yeah.
I mean, I'm saying it's a minor commitment to make someone
happy,
just feel better. Like, yeah. Like, and you wouldn't, like, to leave like that is such an embarrassment. Like, was it worth happiness to make her feel like shit? Because that's what it looked like.
Or he just could not go on in the first place. Like, either one.
Pretty much.
So now it looks like he gonna get out there and do some hoeing shit. It's as though her comment to him, and I'm reading a lot into the previews, but it seems like her comment to him actually put him so much on the defensive that now he about to try to, like, prove something to himself by just going out there and doing whatever. And that's the problem with dudes like Lawrence, is that when they think they're good dudes and you call them on their shit, they actually, instead of taking time to self-reflect, they're actually like, nah, fuck that. Because I'm sure he's probably thinking, I did all this shit with this stupid girl, Tasha, and she got the nerve to call me, blah, 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 blah. Well, fuck that. I'm about to be out here and do whatever. Which is fine. Which is what he should do anyway.
That nigga looked like he was about to say the famous Blazing Saddles line. Where the white women's at?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's probably coming. And then Issa, she out here lost too. She trying to go through her little whole phase. She has no idea how to go about
Fucking jelly bean head Eddie.
Yeah, from that.
Nigga, head all long and flat. Nigga, what's wrong with your head, nigga?
You don't shit where you eat, first of all. Secondly, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, every week I realize more and more Yo, Issa's literally like one step away from living up in the projects. Like, the way she lives is raggedy.
You gotta
as
fuck. Stop talking about. I know. You say
that
it every
shit day. Is raggedy as fuck, yo. Like, there's no privacy. The apartments is literally right next to each other. It's like that apartment building, the complex is terrible.
Obviously, she's been there since she was. Issa's supposed to be 29. If we're to assume that she and Lawrence have been, she and Lawrence have been together 5 years. We don't know how long they've been living together, but we know we've at least been in there for 2 years. And, you know, at 27, 26, I guess they just ain't. But again, we don't even know where Issa comes from.
Yeah, she got bloods living up in there. And,
I know, but well, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what Issa comes from. We don't know what kind of background she comes from. We don't know if she has family money. We don't know if she has other support. And, like, to your point, we know she don't make no money.
Yeah, show me no money, but damn, that crib is raggedy.
Yeah. But Issa, this whole Issa whole venture, I mean, listen, the show is called Insecure, and this character is based in part off of Issa doing her original web series, which was The Adventures of Awkward Black Girl. So Issa's not supposed to be smooth with it. She's not supposed to be able to figure this shit out. She's supposed to trip and stumble and fall a lot. That's the point. That's part of the point. But trying to go through a whole phase and be awkward is some whole other shit.
I want
to
talk about this though. Let's branch off from the show a little bit. So I ain't talking about you now, because you know, good clean Christian woman go to church every Sunday, you know, sit with your legs crossed and all that. But with your friends,
crossed at the ankles like a lady.
Exactly, bro. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Just to make sure your picture's not up. So. Have any of your friends gone through a whole phase, and you know what was their reasoning for doing that?
I mean, I don't think this differs that much between women and men.
No, I'm not making it gender specific. It's not about women.
I don't know if you always. There are times when you go through a conscious whole phase, kind of like what Issa's trying to do. And there are times that you just end up in a whole phase because it could be something like what Issa's been through. You were in a long-term relationship from a young age, and you get out of it and realize that, like, your friend's been living life and you have had none of those experiences. You realize that you've only been with one nigga since you got out of college. You realize that you've only been with one nigga since you was in high school. You know what I mean? Like, I think it can be a variety of things. I think it can be, you know, being hurt after giving a lot of yourself into a long-term relationship and just really not being ready to go back into that again. Or maybe realizing you don't know what you want in a relationship, or you don't know what you want sexually and wanting to just kind of play the field a little bit until you figure that out. Mm-hmm. Or having been in a long-term relationship and feeling like you missed some things and maybe like there's some more you need to learn and some more you need to do. Or just being on some fuck that nigga shit and in your own mind. And these are the rare cases, even though I think some people probably think these are the majority cases. In your own mind, you're trying to get back at whatever hurt, you know, you feel, and just trying to get rid of that.
So does it work?
I mean, it depends on what your goal is. I have not been through what I would call a whole phase. I've been through consciously single phases, but it's not been a lot of like.
When women do that purposely, that's a lot of times y'all. That's when y'all go into like the whole "I'm being celibate" thing. And you
not
know.
Always. I mean, sometimes for me, there's been times where I've gone to the consciously single thing where it's been like I'm dating, but when you're going through, like, you might be dating, but you might be like, I'm just dating casually. I'm not really trying to get another relationship right now. The whole phase is like, nah, I'm fucking. That's different. It's like, I'm trying to just be out here and bring these niggas home and then, or just have like a friend with benefits or whatever. I'm not
so
really trying to even get caught up in anything.
So the whole phase don't necessarily mean, the dating phase don't necessarily mean you having the sexual intercourse. It just means that you hanging out and going on dates and drinking wine and shit.
I think the goals are different. If you're like, yo, I'm going through a whole phase. If you're like, I'm just going to date around for a while and see what happens. That means you're literally like, I want to go out. I want to enjoy some things. I want to have some dinners and some experiences and go to theater, go to concerts, see a couple different see who I vibe with, and if one of them shows potentially show potential. When you're like, I'm in a whole phase, you don't give a fuck if that nigga likes the same things you like. You don't really give a fuck what he does for a living. You're not trying to check to see how many friends you have in common. You're not trying to check and see how much you have in common. You trying to see if he can put it down. And
okay, so you go through the whole phase, and then, you know, as a woman, do you establish that from the door? And how do niggas react to you saying, hey, you know, this ain't gonna be nothing. I'm going through my whole phase, and this ain't gonna be nothing.
I mean, it's not like you sit down, you know, like, I don't really think that's ever really said. I don't think you really make that announcement. I think people, I mean, come on, Jeff, don't be naive. Like, I'm sure you
fuck. I'm not being naive on this podcast.
I'm sure you fuck with a chick before where, without it being said, you knew that she didn't want any more than what you wanted. Y'all didn't have to sit down and have that conversation. Like, just the way you might not have thought of reaching out to her till after dark, she wasn't trying to see your ass till after dark. And she wasn't asking you what you was doing on Thursday. She wasn't asking you if you wanted to come to the movies. She wasn't asking you what the fuck you majored in school. She was like, yo, you want to come through?
Yeah, I've definitely been in that situation a couple of times. You know, to be honest with you, after a while, I started feeling a little
cheap. You start feeling away, exactly. Yeah, like, that's what always happens.
It's one gal.
Chicks be like, what are we? And you be like, nah, shorty, chill, da da da. But when they don't ask that question, you be like, wait.
Yeah, this was one gal, right? I'm obviously, you know, leave her nameless. You know, she show up at my house about 1-2 in the morning, you know, drunk, wanting to, I was like, God damn, man, like, it's 2 in the morning, girl. You want to come up in here and have a drunk and want to fuck till 6? I'm like, shit, man, I'll sleep.
I got to go to work.
Yeah, you know, it was only on the weekends. That's because she didn't live, I don't want to give nothing away, but she didn't live in the same vicinity.
Oh, Lord.
So it was only on the weekends, but my point was, yeah, after a while, I definitely started feeling like, oh, you just, yeah, I feel cheap. You just use them. You just slide up in here, it's 2 in the morning. Then, you know, you out of here about 6 or 7, headed home. I'm sitting there laying in the bed like, what the hell happened?
That girl was probably in her
nigga,
home.
Nigga sitting in the bed like Marcus.
Word.
Like
Marcus. Word. Clutching
his sheets like, I feel cheap. You know, yeah, so that's a trip because most guys, you know, they say they want that, but they can't really handle that, you know?
Oh, no, y'all's egos absolutely cannot handle it at all. And it's the funniest thing because it's just like, with women, a lot of women, and I tell my girls this, a lot of women, especially my younger friends, a lot of women don't, when they start to ask the what are we questions, it's not even always that they like that. We're just programmed to want a man to want us to be their girl, and we feel a way when it's not. But once you get in touch with yourself and you decide what you want and don't want, and if you're like, I don't really want this nigga like that, that's not what I want right now, it never fails that dude be like, wait, why? But it's the same thing with the dude. They don't necessarily want the relationship either. They just feel in a way because the chick don't want it.
Yeah, like I don't want it, but I don't want you to not want it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, why don't you want it? Who else is there? Am I not putting it down hard enough? And then y'all's ego comes into play. Then y'all start acting all macho and crazy and shit.
Yeah, I've definitely felt slutted out on more than one occasion. Like, damn, just show up and just use me and leave on about your business. I don't hear from you till the following weekend. Shit.
So that's how that works. And I don't think Issa has...
That's way back in the day, by the way.
Way back. But I definitely don't think Issa's built for this. Like, she's going to run homeboy in the complex and be hella awkward. Like, she doesn't know how to play this. And I just don't see this going well for her, like, at all. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about Usher Raymond and the accusations of him giving gals the old Herpes disease. You can't take it back with you now. Once you get it, you got it for life.
Why did he set that up like the way it passed the sets up a sermon?
Exactly.
That's problematic.
So Usher's been accused of passing out herpes like a little mints in church to various gals and a man. That's what they say, and there's a boy there involved some kind of way too. But then lately there's been reports that Usher's claiming from his side that he don't have no herpes. So it couldn't be him doing all this stuff. And one of the accusers has come out and said that she don't even have the herpes, but somehow she still want to sue Usher because he could have gave her herpes even though he didn't. Her name Quantisha Sharpton. I don't think she related to Reb now. I'm not sure now. Maybe my secretary couldn't. But he picked her out, according to her, he picked her out of the crowd in a concert. I think up in Detroit or some shit, or Cleveland somewhere. And pulled her up on stage and then took her back to the hotel and had sex. People went crazy on her because she's definitely a heavy set gal. So they were saying Usher would never fuck somebody like her. This thing is just turning into a huge mess. People saying she's trying to scam for money. She's trying to scam.
I was gonna say it's even a bigger mess because people say she's a scammer. Yeah.
Yeah, she tried to scam August Alsina. Allegedly, she allegedly tried to scam Kirko Cobangs and a couple other kind of B and C level niggas. All around. So I don't know, man. What y'all think about this?
Well, here's the thing, right? To sue somebody, first of all, to try to sue somebody for giving you herpes is difficult. 1 in 4 people have herpes. It can lay dormant for up to, I think it's 6 months before you have an outbreak. So unless there's only one sexual partner that you've had in all that time ever, it's really hard to point back and say this person did it. But then secondly, to try to sue somebody and say they didn't, what? That doesn't even make sense to me. Like,
yeah, I was really confused by that.
Well, I think
exposure, but like,
you don't get no money.
You're
for
negative.
That
yeah, you're negative. First of all, secondly, and I mean a lot, and also a lot of people. Here's the thing: with herpes, to my knowledge, I could be wrong. Herpes, it's not like AIDS, where it's actually a criminal offense to not disclose your status.
Yeah, because it's not life-threatening.
Yeah, so if we're prosecuting people, because again, 1 in 4 people has that shit. So it's like everybody, there's niggas you see every day, all day walking around with that shit.
Is it 1 in 4?
And it's 1 in 4. Damn. And it's not hugely, the outbreaks are severe, but you don't have outbreaks all the time. And a lot of doctors actually tell you that it's perfectly safe. Obviously, Tamika Raymond don't have it, like it's perfectly safe for you to have sex when you're not in the middle of an outbreak. And not worry about passing it on to your partner. So to try to sue somebody for just the fact and warn you before sexual contact, it's a flimsy case. I guess you got a high profile attorney, all this other stuff. But I just don't know. I don't know how any of these cases are going to really go forward in terms of any financial gain. But Usher's actual reputation is, oof, it's bad.
What you think, bro?
But apparently he's now saying he doesn't have it, but I haven't found backup for that.
Yeah, he is saying that he doesn't have it now, which I will say that took a very long time to say. This has been floating around for a little while now, and normally when when you don't really have something, you usually say that immediately. But, I'm not here to judge. Who are me? Lisa Bloom, who is representing this woman, who is representing another man and another woman in this case, this was a bad rollout. This was piss poor. Mm-hmm. It was really poor. It looked really bad. I think she loves the spotlight, and I think she sort of gets a kick out of all of that. I also don't think that she's, not representing people who deserve to be represented. I think in this particular case, it looks like she may have dropped the ball on sort of following through and was more concerned about cameras and not really how this was going to really play out. Mm-hmm. The other issue I have, and this is really going to go to a lot of you niggas, okay? see, a lot of you niggas, you live vicariously through these entertainers and these athletes, right? And so what you envision is that every night they're fucking with IG models,
yep.
Right? And every night they're fucking with other entertainers and people and beautiful people. And there's just a shit ton of beautiful people sex, right? I've been on the road, and I'm here to tell you, okay, that young lady being backstage and being at hotels is not uncommon, right? And a lot of you niggas are running around here, and you're fat shaming this girl, okay? And you act like we don't know who your baby mamas are, okay? Right. And You niggas are fat shaming her, and you're 5'7", 270 with fucking diabetes and pressure.
And shit stains in your drawers.
Yeah, and your niggas is out here, you know, like running around with all sorts of preventable diseases because you ain't taking care of yourself. Like, dude, like stop with that shit. Mm-hmm. And what was really bothering me was the Usher wouldn't hit that. Like, nigga, you know Usher? You know him? Usher,
how you know? Man?
How the fuck you know? Like, get off his dick, man. That shit just irks me, man. That shit irks me, man. Like these niggas are so wrapped up into life. Because what happens is they portray that women are the only ones who are wrapped up in celebrity gossip and engaging in that sort of behavior. And you know what? It's a lot of you niggas.
Yep.
It's a lot of you.
And also my issue, and this is different but not completely dissimilar, everybody who is clowning Usher for having herpes, and I see from the timeline, y'all niggas can't spell condom. Y'all never even bought a condom.
Well, I was about to go into that in a second.
You brag about fucking raw. So it's like, y'all, a lot of y'all making these jokes got that shit too. Or have had something worse. Like, there's no way you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you clowning Usher.
Back to even Insecure. That's been one of the things about Insecure. This season seems to be more than the other seasons, is that all the sex scenes and Power, you know, which we ain't really discussed, but in Power, like, ain't nobody even acting like they putting condoms on. Everybody sliding in anywhere. Let's get it cracking.
Well, that's been a conversation on the timeline. No shows show that unless the conversation is about to be about. I think the only time I've ever seen it is when the conversation is specifically about teen sex or something else. Like, other than that, I really haven't seen that.
Wouldn't they do condoms sometime on Sex in the City with Samantha? Because she was always very...
Maybe Samantha, but Samantha was also very much about being a certain... Like, that was different because her sex was part... Her being a sexual being was part of the plot line. Her being out there doing all kind of crazy shit was part of the plot line. And I have heard it in a plot line now. It's like, you got condoms with you. Do you have condoms? Let me get some condoms. But never like in the, I don't remember ever seeing in the act of sex somebody stopping and putting a condom,
put the condom on
TV.
Yeah, on TV.
I can't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I mean,
And Insecure is only 30 minutes long, so...
I agree with Sean, though, like, look, I don't know if this girl scammed or didn't scam or whatever, I guess, hopefully it'll come on to watch either way, but, like, the way people, like, jumped on her because of her physical appearance was, like, and guys and girls, this was guys and girls doing this to this girl, was, like, goddamn, you know what I'm saying, it was crazy.
And guess what? She can be a scammer. And she could still have went over and exactly. And just to be clear, when I read the reports, it said sexual contact. It did not say sexual intercourse. So what that really sort of intimated to me was that she might have came over, gave him a blowjob, you know, something like that. I don't necessarily, because, you know, it specifically said contact. So, I don't know, man. And I mean, listen, is she, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is only a couple years ago. It's pretty easy to prove, you know, what city, when did this happen? You know,
apparently
what I'm saying?
It's been proven that she was at the show, but when she was at the show, she was, I guess August was also at the show because she posted a picture with her in August or something, or somebody. Yeah. Maybe not August, maybe tomorrow. But here's the other thing that I didn't go to health class Twitter doesn't realize. If you've had a cold sore, you have herpes 1. Period.
Yes.
And if you have a cold, but it's still herpes. And if you have a cold sore and you go down on someone, guess where the breakout's going to show up?
Yeah.
So, same shit, y'all. Like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, whatever.
Well, you
my niggas don't learn that.
And nah, they don't learn nothing. And honestly, man, I'm about sick of you. I'm seriously frustrated with these niggas acting like they don't fuck with big women.
Yeah, they're only fucking with girls who's like a size 4. Like, get out of here, man.
Yeah, like you do, bro. You do. You know why I know you do? Because they pregnant.
Yep.
Right.
Or all the time.
You're not getting no ass at all. Fronting like
Like, it's just wild. It's just wild. And it's just weird to see, like, the venom. And, you know, listen, I understand jokes. Like, I have a sense of humor. I think that grown-ups sort of know when something is funny and when something is mean. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And just sort of meant to be harmful or hurtful. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that shit was just mean and unnecessary. And a lot of chicks was out here really sort of co-signing that shit. And a part of that, too, is they have this envision and this idea that, you know, no way would this guy have sex with that woman. Yes way. A whole lot of way. I've been on the road. I promise you.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody walking back there don't look like Amber Rose. Stop it.
I promise you.
You know what I'm saying? You know? So, yeah, I mean, that was it. We're going to wrap up on that. You know, we had a nice little quick show tonight. You know, we got some topics off.
Oh, shout out next to... Week we wanna... I can't remember if we talked about this yet, but I just want to give a shout out to Niecy Nash.
Oh, Claws, yeah, Claws. I started watching Claws. I got my 3 episodes in. I really like that show.
I'm gonna binge this weekend. Jordan and I have to go down to the Jersey Shore. I'm using air quotes. She has a residency this week.
Okay.
Some
shows.
All right, Jordan's
a big thumb.
Yeah, it's good though.
So I'm gonna catch up. Yeah,
Claws is good. It shocked me, like, with how graphic the sex scenes and stuff was. It was like, it's HBO type shit. You know, it's crazy.
But they ain't put no condoms on that shit either.
Yeah, and they curse it and some. You know, yeah, exactly. Ain't no way put no condoms on
Claws is great, and I'm so happy that Niecy is finally having a moment. But it got picked up for season 2.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. The season finale is this Sunday, so you're binging at a good time. But it's just been really, really great and shocking. And I mean, the story is so funny. The characters are crazy. The storyline is insane. But that's what I love about it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So next week, we'll discuss Claws deeper, and we'll probably do some power talk, because that's just foolish right now. But we'll get into that next week. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.